Upheaval. Reckoning. Chapter 33. A Thorn's Purpose.
The element of loyalty is flaring up, Longstride, Lioncourt said. The mistress expects a report on the current situation. Why isn't she the one contacting me? She's a little indisposed at the moment. Nothing that should concern you. The target has moved out of range. I am unable to verify our current situation. That short exchange between him and Lioncourt continued to replay itself in Longstride's mind as he scanned the forest for his targets. His wings ached with each flap, the consequence of trying to keep up with the two as they made their mad dash. It was impossible. Strain as he might, all he saw were two very small dots on the horizon descending before completely escaping his vision. All he had was a very vague approximation of where they might have landed. That was yesterday. It was already late morning of the following day. He was still caught in yesterday until he found his target again. That it was Lioncourt who communicated with him was vaguely bothersome. It was his reply, however, that provided the greatest distraction at the moment. Longstride had served as a Legion sniper for more than half his life. He had taken down Bracuri, Caudal Overlords, and Ursan Titans with a properly timed and placed shot. Never in all those years of service had he ever said the words, "The target has moved out of range." Being a member of Black Rose's Thorns left little room for hubris. Talented as they were, each member was but a tool to be used by a far greater pony for a purpose larger than any of them. Rainbow's speed was never in doubt. There had always been the chance that she would be able to fly out of sight. He wasn't humiliated that she did so, but Longstride had been sure that Rainbow was the worst of the elements of harmony. Impetuous, arrogant, undisciplined, and not very bright. Yet, she had gained some sort of attunement to the element she bore, and her mind had survived when he was sure that it would have crumbled instantly. He had misjudged his target greatly, and this didn't sit well with him. He flitted through the trees, careful to reveal as little of his presence as possible.
"Have some faith in Rainbow Dash."
Black Rose's request remained with Longstride. Faith in Rainbow Dash. It had occurred to him that he had just been in the cusp of having that. It was a dangerous thing to happen. At the start of this mission, Rainbow's demise was nothing more than a setback. He would shoulder some of the blame for getting her killed, but that was it. Seeing what she had done, and was still doing, left him wondering if she might be worthy of her heavy responsibility. This should be a good thing. A stronger Rainbow meant more success for Black Rose's plans, yet here he was, caught between wanting Rainbow to succeed and maintaining the distance he deemed necessary. Looking for two Pegasi in a wood was no small task. A squad of Legionnaires could comb this area without turning up anything. He didn't have a squad of Legionnaires. Not only that, he had to make sure that he wasn't seen. The noon sun was upon him when he finally sighted something among the trees. A flash of colors followed by rustling leaves. Rainbow led the way while Scarlet followed reluctantly. They had taken to flying beneath the trees to avoid being shot. Longstride conceded that Rainbow was at least smart enough to learn from earlier mishaps. There had to be some way for her to survive up to adulthood, after all. Longstride took cover and knocked an arrow. They were passing too close for comfort. If they were Wolven or Ursans and were downwind of him, they'd be lunging towards his hiding spot already. The range provided him with some advantages as well. He could observe them a little better and notice more details. Rainbow was sweating too profusely for her speed. She may be lacking in prudence, but she was no slouch when it came to athletics. Half a day's flying should not leave her panting and sweating like this. The after effects of those drugs must be taking hold. Scarlet Rabbit had noticed as well. Not surprising with his own history of Ophidite drug usage. Longstride aimed the arrow at his neck. Scarlet's purpose was over. From now on, his continued survival would only prove harmful to Rainbow. A single shot should take care of the matter.
Longstride.
Black Rose's soft, low-pitched voice flooded Longstride's ears. He lowered his bow.
How are you feeling, mistress? He asked, his voice low and far from the earshot of his targets.
Much better. I see that you've finally caught up with Rainbow Dash.
Yes, I am about to make adjustments as we speak.
Take a little more time to consider, Longstride.
Longstride flitted to the next available hiding spot as the two moved on.
Scarlet Rabbit's elimination should prove to be more beneficial in the long run, he said. She has more important friends to draw out her loyalty.
I'm not just talking about the effects of Scarlet Rabbit's death.
I do not understand, Mistress.
How do you feel about the whole matter?
Longstride's answer was pure reflex. My feelings about this matter are irrelevant.
If I required you to simply assassinate Semponi, that would have sufficed. Your task is a bit more complicated this time.
Longstride still didn't understand. He had his reasons for having to do this. Scarlet was a liability, likely to drag Rainbow into more trouble than was needed. Wouldn't it make sense to eliminate him? He looked at his target again. Rainbow had landed under one tree in exhaustion, while Scarlet hovered nearer. Whatever effect that the element of loyalty had on Rainbow appeared to have its own drawbacks, which were combining with the after-effects of both the befuddling grass and the fool's cap. There was also the beating she took from Scarlet, and the still-healing wound on her flank. She was a far cry from the arrogant, undisciplined filly he first encountered when he took on this mission. One of her eyes had swollen badly. There was fresh blood on the bandages around her cutie mark, and it also looked like she was having trouble keeping her balance. Through it all, she acted as if she would drag herself and Scarlet back to Canterlot if she had to. Longstride lowered his bow. Rainbow had risked much to keep Scarlet from getting himself killed. A single shot would render all her efforts, efforts that included drawing strength from the element of loyalty, meaningless.
"Look, I'll carry you on my back if you want me to," Scarlet said.
Rainbow shook her head. Longstride almost felt glad about that answer. There was the stubborn, foolish pride he knew. The two were forced to lengthen their short break into a long rest. Rainbow lay on her belly while Scarlet gathered some nearby grass for lunch. Longstride's eyes widened when he saw some of the grasses that Scarlet pulled out. Rainbow was about to be treated to some of Sablesteel's favorite ingredients. "Foal," he muttered. Long years in the north must have frozen any knowledge of southern herbs in Scarlet's mind. Longstride raised his bow again. His first instinct was to shoot the grass out of Scarlet's mouth. However, an arrow from nowhere would send them flying in random directions. Starting a fight or a chase would be detrimental to the mission. Still, he had to observe. Longstride shook his head. Yes, that was the action he was supposed to take. What had he been thinking just a while ago? If Rainbow died of poisoning, they simply had to replace her. If he had not intervened back in Ghastly Gorge, Rainbow would not have made it up to this point. That act cast doubt on her newfound attunement to the element of loyalty. This may be the opportunity to correct his mistake.
"Here," Scarlet offered the bundle of grass to Rainbow. "You need to eat."
Something within Longstride snapped. He quickly undid the straps that bound his survival kit, flew into the clearing with his bow drawn, then aimed at Rainbow. At the sight of him, they both flapped their wings for a fight. At least, Scarlet was able to hover. Rainbow flapped her wings a few times, then landed.
"Stop right there,"
Longstride said. He glanced at Scarlet before refocusing on Rainbow. "Stand down, stallion. Try anything and she gets an arrow to the head." For a moment, Longstride actually thought that Scarlet was going to try something anyway. He looked ready to charge, but he eventually backed down.
"You're that sniper,"
Rainbow said weakly. "About 100 feet from this spot, there's a small stream," Longstride told Scarlet. "Get several cups of water from it. You'll also spot a type of flower along its banks. They have thin, pointed blue petals in a star pattern. Bring back several of them here. Follow that stream a short distance, and you'll find a stand of slender trees with large fan-like yellow leaves. Bring several of those as well."
"What am I supposed to carry the water with?"
Scarlet asked. "About 30 feet behind me, you'll find my survival kit. Bring it with you." Longstride adjusted his position as Scarlet flew tentatively towards where the kit was. Their eyes met for a moment. It was clear to him that, if he lost control of the situation, Scarlet would swiftly beat him to a pulp. With Scarlet off to follow his instructions, he turned his gaze back to Rainbow.
"What are you planning?"
Rainbow asked. She glared at him as defiantly as she could. Longstride didn't reply. It wasn't just because he had no intention of striking any conversation with Rainbow. He was still wrestling with what exactly he was doing. After a while, Scarlet came back with the things he requested. "Build a fire and start boiling those flowers," he told Scarlet. "While they're boiling, find some flat rocks and grind those leaves into a paste." Again, Scarlet did as he was told. Minutes passed while he built a fire and prepared all the plants. Throughout the whole thing, Longstride kept his bow drawn and aimed. "Apply that paste around her swollen eye and her scrapes," he said once Scarlet was done. He then turned towards Rainbow. "Drink that water, down to the last drop."
"No way," Rainbow said. "It's probably poison."
Longstride nearly dropped his bow. "I have an arrow aimed at your skull, fool. Why would I bother with poisons?" It took some time before Rainbow's indignation lessened enough for the logic to sink in. Longstride waited as she tried a few times to hold the bowl without burning herself. When she got her first mouthful in, she grimaced and looked about to spit it out, but Longstride glared at her.
"Full of a nag!" Rainbow exclaimed. "This is bitter stuff!"
"Keep drinking. Down it all." Rainbow glared back at Longstride, then did as she was told. She let out a long exhale through her mouth once she was finished.
"If you're not trying to poison me, what is this stuff?" she asked.
"For the fever," Longstride replied. The confused looks on both Rainbow and Scarlet only served to mirror his own uncertainty. "What am I doing?" he asked himself. He had cornered himself with this foolish decision. What was he supposed to do next? Warn them about following him and fly off? Guard them for their own foolishness until they made it back to Canterlot? Why had he chosen to step in again? The answer was obvious, however. He could already picture his mistress reclining on her bed with yet another cunning smile.
"A little faith," she would say. "That's why."
Longstride crushed the notion, as best as he could, anyway. Maybe in the recesses of his mind he was impressed. She had certainly exceeded his expectations. Maybe a small seed of faith had been planted. Maybe the element of loyalty had chosen well. It was too early. Let the seed be just a seed. "Third squad is moving south to find you," he said. "Fly above the trees and follow that direction." He pointed a hoof northward. "You will not be shot down if you do this. Try to follow me, and you will both die." He backed away slowly. "Stay safe from now on, Rainbow," he said before flying off. Sable closed her eyes and listened as music flowed from Black Rose's bedroom. She didn't like Octavia, but she had to admit that this music would have given Rhapsody a run for her bits. It certainly aided them greatly now. Last night, Black Rose returned from her meeting with Prince Tirado in a foul mood. Unlike her beloved, she didn't thunder or rumble. Instead, her displeasure wafted from her like a black, toxic fog. Sable felt as if she was about to suffocate when their mistress first came in. Octavia played some sad, haunting tune. After a while, the air in their headquarters lightened. Sable continued to stand just outside of Black Rose's room with their eyes closed as the last few notes faded away. She heard the doors open and the sound of a sharp inhale.
"Miss Sable," Octavia said. "I wasn't expecting you there."
Sable opened her blue eye and stared at Octavia. Among the surviving thorns, she expected herself to be the last to adjust to their new member. Serving as Black Rose's agents was just one thing she and Rhapsody had done together. They had grown up in the same village, joined the Legion at the same time, and fought the same enemies. No matter how pragmatically she tried to look at it, she still felt the pangs of resentment that came with seeing Symphony take Rhapsody's place.
"I was just going," she said.
Indeed, she was already wearing her gear, save for her breather mask, which she had tucked under a foreleg.
"I just stopped by to enjoy a little music. You're certainly talented there."
A ghost of a smile crossed Octavia's face.
"Thank you," she said.
"Lioncourt said that you wanted to see your family. Have you done so?" Octavia looked away.
"I changed my mind. I think it would be too dangerous for me to show up in Canterlot for now, especially since I came here."
Both eyes open now, Sablesteel merely snorted and moved on. Octavia was aware of their situation and still stayed. That should be a good sign. Sable had other matters to worry about for now, though. It had been days since she last dealt with Pinky. From what she had observed, her target had found herself a true earth pony that Black Rose had inexplicably told her to spare. Just how much Pinky had learned during the first few days of her studies was about to be tested.
"Excuse me, Miss Sablesteel."
Sable stopped and looked back. No pony had ever called her Miss Sablesteel. It sounded like something Lioncourt would use on the many, many mares he associated with.
"What do you want?" she asked.
She purposefully let a hint of irritation creep into her tone, just to remind Octavia that she didn't enjoy trifles.
Lioncourt told me that your task is to make things difficult for the pink pony.
Lioncourt talks too much, Sable snapped. This was just typical of him, messing around with every pony else's mission while he did his. But he's right. What about it?
If you need any help, I'd like to do more than just be the mistress's personal cellist.
Sable turned around completely and studied Octavia, who returned her gaze with a serious mien that left her impressed.
By now you should know exactly what I do, Octavia, she said. Yes.
Sable noticed the faint glowing thing hovering next to Octavia's cello. Ever since she found her way here, Octavia had been repeatedly asked to play her cello. The requests were innocuous enough. Black Rose did enjoy music while she worked. More importantly, each performance allowed Warsinger to harmonize with its new player.
It's not about forcing, Rhapsody said once. Warsinger doesn't seize control to make you do things. It's more like it lets you do things you couldn't before. Like having a supportive audience or having some pony hold your hoof.
Rhapsody had said that while she was drenched in Ophidite blood, her serene voice punctuated by dying hisses. Through harmony with Warsinger, the filly who cried her eyes out when she saw Sable cut herself maintaining gear became the mare that the Ophidites called Blood-Soaked Nightingale. However, Rhapsody had plenty of time to work with Warsinger, not just a few days.
"Did you also make the same offer to Lioncourt and Longstride?" she asked.
Octavia hesitated.
"Well, no, I suppose not. Then why make it to me? Well, the pink pony..."
"So it's a grudge." Sable walked closer and stared long and hard into Octavia's eyes. "We don't do things out of grudges here, Octavia," she hissed. "We are the thorns, and we serve a higher purpose."
"We are the cleansing dark that floods the land, the judging eyes of the Moon Princess. We are the Black Moon Blades, and we raise our weapons only for who we are, not what we feel."
Sable let her grandfather's words flutter. The Black Moon Blades were dead, and the Moon Princess was her enemy, but she still firmly believed that she embodied their ideals. She backed up a bit when she saw that Octavia was holding her ground.
"I'll take up your offer," she said. "I think it's time for you to move up in tasks. I'm warning you. This is my mission. You do as I say and when I say it. If you mess up, I don't care if Warsinger picked you. I'm going to stick a needle under your tail and melt your innards. Are we clear?"
Sable saw a glimmer of fear within Octavia's eyes. The Chosen was still there, after all. Perhaps that was a good thing. Having some form of backup gave her an idea as well. "Do you remember that special chamber in your quarters?" she asked. Octavia nodded. "Go there and wait. I'll contact you when I need to. Warm up your cello or whatever you musicians do before performing." Sable watched until Octavia was out of sight before heading for one of the temporary portals. The ones linked to Canterlot were the most dangerous ones to use, as they could be discovered by the Legion. Black Rose already had to destroy a few when Legionnaires started to close in on them, including the one Lioncourt had used to recruit Octavia. The dimensional door opened. It was a late afternoon sun that greeted Sable when she stepped out of a hidden cellar in one of Canterlot's alleys. Her use of this portal would likely bring the need to destroy it, but it would be for a good cause. She had worked with Frenzy Heart enough times to know what a true Earth Pony channeler could accomplish. All she needed to do now was wait. As it turned out, she didn't even have to wait for very long. Half an hour later, she could hear the rush of hooves heading towards her spot. Her target appeared by the entrance to the alley.
"I found you!"
Pinky said. She was panting, and she was holding a channeler's tablet.
"Congratulations,"
Sable muttered. Blades sprang from her foreleg device with a push of a button. Her stinger clinked against the pavement.
"I'm not letting you hurt any pony I care about," Pinky said. You should just back off and leave them alone."
"Or you'll what?" Sable asked. "You're going to squeal at me some more? I think I'll kill one of them just for that."
"You're not going anywhere,"
Pinky's high-pitched voice dropped to a growl. She planted her forelegs on the ground, daring Sable to try and get past her.
"I'd compliment you for being brave, Pinkie Pie," Sable said. "Except bravery includes knowing what you're in for."
Her tone dropped as well, You barely have an idea of what I can and will do. Once more, Sable saw that glimmer of fear. Pinky composed herself, however.
I'm not fighting you alone, she said. Captain Nightcanter and her friends were following me when I started chasing after you.
Good, Sable replied. I could use a workout. She turned her focus on her communication device.
Are you ready, Octavia? She whispered.
Ready.
Sable adjusted her communication device to synchronize with the special chamber in Octavia's quarters. Then she took to the air, hovering just high enough to look down on her target. Pinky's hooves were trembling while she clutched her tablet tightly, but she looked determined to go through with this. This Captain Nightcanter must be a special operations squad leader. Sable would have a few minutes at best to see what Pinky could do before the rest of the Legion came down upon her.
Let's go.
Sablesteel began to swoop.